Welcome to the Heartland Baptist Podcast. I'm Steve Swan, one of the pastors here at Heartland.
And I'm Joel Carla, also one of the pastors here at Heartland.
You can expect on this feed to hear the Sunday morning teaching from Heartland, usually from either Joel or I.
But sometimes from awesome guest speakers as well. If you want to get in touch with us to find out more about our church, if you have something that you'd like us to pray about, or you just want to say hi, visit us online at heartlandbaptist.ca.
And if you don't want to miss anything, subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast app. We also have a YouTube page if you prefer video, which is just at youtube.com/@ Heartland and Heartland Baptist.
Right now we're going through the book of John together as a church, so enjoy the podcast as we dive deep into God's word together.
Are you familiar with the term imposter syndrome? Familiar with that term? You ever heard of that? It's that nagging feeling that you don't belong, that maybe you're unqualified in what you're doing, or that your success is somehow undeserved. This can show up in all kinds of different places. It can show up in your work, like maybe you're feeling like you actually didn't deserve that promotion, or someone else did more than you. Or it can show up like you don't even feel like you deserve the job you got. For me, sometimes it shows up when I get asked to play music and sing at events like beyond Sunday morning here at Heartland. Like, okay, I'm a fairly competent rhythm guitar player. And I'm not saying that to be this to be falsely modest or anything, but I just know that what separates me from actually good guitar players is this. I'm not really passionate about getting better at guitar. Like, if I'm not playing or practicing my guitar, if I'm not playing or practicing for a Sunday morning, my guitar often will sit in its case for like a couple of weeks. That's not what good guitar players do. I know they put in far more work than I do, and I'm okay with the fact that I'm good enough for what I'm actually passionate about, which is leading people in worship. I can sing with passion. I'm not technically a great singer, and I know you guys know that because you hear me every Sunday. My voice can get nasally. I know this. I'm trying to work on it. I really am. I can be pitchy. I know that. I can play and I can sing with passion, with enthusiasm. I can lead people, but I know that I'll never be a great guitar player, and I know I'll never be a great vocalist. So when I play with people who are truly talented, who are truly gifted, and I've been lucky enough to do that a few times, I feel this. I feel this imposter syndrome. This feeling like I don't belong. Like, sometimes I'm like, why did they call me? I don't understand. They could have got someone better. You know, this can show up in church too. Like, it can show up because we look around and we see people who we think have it all together, right? It can show up like I can look at other people and think, oh man, they're experiencing Jesus in a way that I'm just not right now. What's wrong with me? Everyone else got their kids to church on time this morning, and I didn't. I just feel like I don't belong, you know? Imposter syndrome, it can show up when we spend too much time on social media seeing carefully curated images that make others seem like they've got it all together. And I know I don't. You can feel like you don't belong. You can suffer from this imposter syndrome. It can show up anywhere we doubt our own competency or character. And what imposter syndrome depends on is us comparing ourselves, our accomplishments, our abilities, our successes, and our failures against someone else. And it's a guarantee in this life that we will find someone who is better than us at something. It's a guarantee that we will find someone better than us at the thing that we compare ourselves to. So I want you to keep that in mind. This idea of, man, feeling like I don't belong, feeling like someone else has it all together. I don't. As we read Jesus' prayer, as we continue in Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, Last week, we looked at the first part of this remarkable prayer, and we identified in Jesus' prayer for himself three truths: that our purpose is in God's glory, that our life is in God's grace, and our home is in God's presence. And this week, Jesus moves the focus of his prayer from himself and glorifying God to his disciples, to the 12, to the people who were following him as he did his earthly ministry. And we're going to read from verse 9 down to verse 19, and it'll be on the screen behind me. And if you're watching online, it should be up on the screen as well for you too. But you can follow along too if you've brought your Bible. So let's turn to John chapter 17 and let's read God's word together. It says this: "My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in the world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth." You know, what I see in this passage, what strikes me about this is when Jesus prays for his disciples, is that there is a clear picture of who his disciples belong to. The disciples belong to Jesus. And that's kind of where I want to spend some time here this morning. Now, I realize that we are in Canada, but I'm going to tell you about a really famous soccer player. His name's Kaká. He retired in 2016, but at one point he was widely considered the best soccer player in the world. He won a World Cup with Brazil, a Champions League title with AC Milan, and after he scored just an amazing goal in the Champions League final in 2007, he took off his jersey to reveal this shirt underneath. Said, "I belong to Jesus." In front of, you know, thousands and thousands of people in the stadium, millions and millions, maybe even hundreds of millions across the world, Kaká declared that his allegiance, his purpose, his highest goal wasn't scoring a goal in the biggest soccer game of his life. It wasn't wearing the shirt of a European powerhouse, but his highest allegiance was to Jesus. That's to whom he belonged. I belong to Jesus. And friends, this morning, if we follow Jesus, if we believe in Jesus, if we have received Jesus, if we call Jesus Lord this morning, we belong to him. We belong to Jesus. And what we're going to see as we look at Jesus' prayer is we're going to see what belonging to Jesus meant for those first disciples and how Jesus prayed. And we're going to discover what it means for us as well. So firstly, belonging to Jesus means that we are chosen by God. Belonging to Jesus means we are chosen by God. We belong to Jesus, which means we belong to the Father. And the thing that's amazing about this belonging is that it's a gift. It's not an achievement, it's a gift. Look at the words Jesus uses here. Did the disciples do anything to earn their place at the feet of Jesus? No. In fact, Jesus says in his prayer that they were given to him by the Father. All who are mine belong to you, and you've given them to me, so they bring me glory. There is absolutely nothing that those first followers of Jesus did to earn their place at Jesus' side. There is absolutely nothing that they did to earn their place walking and learning from Jesus, hearing his teaching, experiencing the miraculous, and knowing that this man would forever change history. There's absolutely nothing they did. They were uneducated fishermen. They were a tax collector, a rebel against the Roman Empire, a doubter, and more. And Jesus prays here, and in his prayer, he says that they were a gift given to him. Let's stop there for a moment. Let's stop there for a moment, because it's amazing and humbling all at the same time. Do you know, you ever wondered why God chooses to use the broken, the flawed, the ones who don't have it all together? Because they're the ones who bring him glory. Like, if Jesus had been given disciples of earthly power, of earthly stature, if Jesus had had the favor of government or religious authority, well, they had the power, they had the authority, they would have been tempted to see this belonging as something of their own achievement rather than the gift that it was. Like, do you think there was any doubt in those first disciples that this was a gift? I don't think so. When Jesus called those without power, those without education, those without earthly connections, those who knew that they needed a Savior, that brought glory to the Father. See, I think that pride can get in the way here. Like, there is a part of us that wants to earn. There's a part of us that wants to achieve things, right? Because then that means that I did something. And I get to feel better about myself because I did it. And maybe I did it better than someone else. Like, if we're honest, we all kind of like that feeling, don't we? There's a lot of things that people say about goalies. I'm a goalie. If you ever played a sport with a goalie, you'll know that goalies are often thought of as a little crazy. It might be true. Most people don't willingly stand in front of a puck of rubber moving at a high rate of speed. That's just not something that a lot of people want to do. Most people don't want to throw their bodies on the ground to try and stop a ball from going across a line. We are a little crazy. If you're a goalie here this morning or if you're watching online, I get you. But the reason that I love playing that position so much is that while there's a ton of pressure, and that I know that if I make a mistake that it's going to have disastrous consequences for my team, there's also the feeling that you get when you make a great save. When the team rushes around you after you stop a penalty kick. There's more pressure for sure, but there's a good chance at glory. And that feeling of earning something, of achieving something, of doing something great, man, that's why I keep playing soccer. I keep throwing my body on the ground on the wrong side of 40. And being a follower of Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, being chosen by God, belonging to him means wrestling and coming to terms with knowing that my life, when I'm living the life that God has called me to, is not about bringing myself glory. My life is about bringing God glory. My life is about bringing Jesus glory because it is a gift to belong to him. You know, pride can get in the way here, but there is an amazing freedom here too, isn't there? Because if I no longer have to earn my place, if I no longer have to earn my belonging to Jesus, I no longer have to worry. Because I am chosen by God. He chose me. Not because of anything I did, but just because He loves me. I no longer have to prove myself because I know who I belong to. There is a tremendous freedom there. That when, if I were to try and bring glory to myself, it would never bring. Scottish theologian P.T. Forsyth said this: "The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master." And there's a clear understanding here in Jesus' prayer that the disciples were chosen. They understood who their master was. Jesus was praying for this. And I think for us, almost 2,000 years later, the same is true for you and I as we follow Jesus. We are chosen by God. And our purpose isn't to pursue our own glory, but the glory of the Father as we live our lives belonging to our master. Belonging to Jesus. Belonging to Jesus means we are chosen by God. Secondly, belonging to Jesus means we are secure in Him. Jesus prays here for His disciples' protection before He leaves, before He goes to the cross, before He ascends and returns to the Father. And here's what He prayed. He says, "Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one." When I think about this prayer, you know, at first blush, it might seem like this prayer wasn't answered. The book of Acts is filled with stories of the disciples in danger, in prison, being executed, being persecuted. Early church history is filled with the blood of martyrs. Protection, it would seem, wasn't always answered by God, even when prayed here by Jesus. But is that what Jesus is actually praying for? I'm not sure. I don't think so. What is Jesus praying here for His disciples to be protected from? Well, disunity for one, and I know Joel's going to talk about that more next week as we continue in John chapter 17. So I'll just mention it this morning. I know it's there, but we're going to talk about it next week. But Jesus is also praying here for their spiritual protection from a battle that they would soon be fighting, and that's where I want to spend some time here this morning. You'll very rarely hear me in a sermon quote directly from a commentary, but as I was doing my research preparing for this message, I read this and I thought, I can't say this any better. And so in the New American Commentary on John, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, take away some of the real academic language, but here's what it says. "The prayer of Jesus was not for God to send rescue planes to evacuate the disciples from their hostile setting in the world. Such a plan would destroy God's mission through them. Nor was his prayer to wrap them in some plastic, danger-free safety casing where they would never encounter evil. The prayer of Jesus was to protect them from succumbing to the onslaught of the evil one. Jesus was not under any delusion concerning the power of evil or of the enemy. John was clear that Jesus understood the nature of the battle, not against flesh and blood, but at its core, a spiritual battle. And to understand the hostility of the world, it's important we don't demythologize evil into some vague natural set of counterforces in the world. Satan in the New Testament was not some medieval imp dressed in red or black with a pitchfork and tail. The devil in the New Testament is a powerful force like a roaring lion, bent on destroying both God's work and God's people. That's what Jesus is praying against. I believe that Satan is at work in this world. I believe that Satan is at work in the world today. And I believe, like the disciples, that we are facing a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against that power. And I also believe that the power of God is greater, that the power of Jesus is greater, that the power of the Holy Spirit within us is greater than those forces. But make no mistake, we are in a fight in a world that is not our home, and we need to be prepared for that fight. As we follow the example of Jesus and pray, knowing who we belong to. And here's how we win and how we lose. See, we lose when we belong more to the world than to Jesus. We lose when we stop longing for our home with Him and accept the deception that this world and all of its brokenness and all of its evil is the way it was supposed to be. We lose when we stop fighting against that power. We lose when we make this world and its values our home. We lose when we grow bitter. We lose when sin no longer grieves us. We lose when we don't love the way that Jesus loved. We win when we fight not for ourselves, but for God's glory. We win when we love others the way that Jesus did. We win when we fight against the evil within us by depending on the Holy Spirit. We win when we remember that this world isn't our home, but our home is with Jesus because we belong to Him. We win when we remember that we are His, that we are not our own. And we win when the longing of our hearts isn't for something, but we win when we live life with Him now and for all eternity. So let me ask you, how are you feeling about this fight this morning? Because Jesus wouldn't have prayed for the protection for His disciples if it wasn't needed. Our enemy wants to destroy two things: God's work and God's people. Both, if he can. Here's a question that I ask when I'm feeling that battle, when I'm not sure where I am. You know, I think as followers of Jesus, we ask the question, what would God want me to do? You know, we ask that question a lot. I know I do. But sometimes I'll ask the inverse question. What would Satan want in this situation? And here's why I ask that question. Here's why I find that question helpful. Because if I know that Satan wants to destroy me and destroy the work of Jesus, then if I ask that question, for example, if I feel like I've been wronged, I know that Satan wants me in that situation to be unforgiving, to be prideful. I know he wants to bring division. I know he wants me to be bitter. I know he wants to destroy me. So then I know how to pray. any good team analyzes the strategies of its opposition. And Jesus knew that his disciples were in for the fight of their lives. What did Jesus do? He prayed. He prayed. He prayed because they belonged to him. So think for a moment. Just think for a moment about the strategy that the enemy might be using in your life. Think for a moment about the strategy of the enemy in our community, in our church. And then let's pray. Because you and I can't fight this battle alone. When Jesus prayed, he prayed for protection for his disciples. Belonging to Jesus means that we, as his disciples, we are not alone in this fight. We are secure in him. Now, that doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to us. We see in the book of Acts, bad things happen to his disciples. But it means that in the battles ahead, we are secure no matter what happens because of who we belong to. We belong to the one who defeated Satan. We belong to the one who defeated sin and death. We belong to the one who one day will bring us home. We are secure in him. Jesus didn't protect his disciples so they could hide from the world, but so they could be sent into it. Our security in him isn't meant to shelter us. It's meant to strengthen us for this. Belonging to Jesus means that we are sent into the world. Make them holy by your truth, Jesus prays. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. Now, we might not be of this world. This world might be an alien place to us as followers of Jesus. But the disciples were not called to abandon that world to its own destruction, and neither are we. Jesus sent his disciples into a hostile world. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like our world is a pretty hostile place to faith in Jesus. And it's tempting. It's tempting, isn't it? You know, to come to church on a Sunday morning, enjoy the worship, enjoy some teaching. Maybe if we're lucky, we'll have lunch together. And forget that there is a world out there that needs to hear about the one who loved them so much that he left heaven to step into our broken world, live a life without sin, experience the very worst of humanity, died a criminal's death to reconcile and redeem us to our Creator, and rose from death in triumph, defeating the power of sin and Satan and death forever. It's safer to keep that to ourselves, isn't it? It's safer to not go out into the world. It's safer to stay within the safe walls of this community here. What does Satan want? I don't think he wants people to find hope for today or tomorrow, to find life eternal and abundant, to find the love that they were created to experience from the God who loved them so much. He sent his only Son to restore and redeem them through his death and resurrection. He certainly doesn't want the world out there to know Jesus. Jesus prayed as he sent his disciples into the world. He prayed for them. And the world was never the same. They went into the world, and the world was changed. We are here today because they went. Belonging to Jesus means that we have a mission beyond these walls. So let me ask you this morning, as we close, what does it mean for you to belong to Jesus? Does your chosenness bring you joy? Does it challenge your pride? Does your security in Him steel you for the spiritual battle in our world? Does it drive you to your knees in prayer? Does your mission from Him motivate you into a hostile world to love like Jesus and bring the truth of Jesus to a world that doesn't know Him? Sometimes I feel like an imposter. Sometimes when I ask those questions, I don't like my own answers. Sometimes I know that Satan is happy with my action or lack thereof. But here's what I know this morning, and here's what I pray you know. I belong to Jesus. I was chosen by Him. It's a gift from Him. It's not something I achieved. It's not because of my strength. It's because of His strength. And I know that I am secure in Him no matter what battle comes, no matter what fight happens. I know I'm not fighting it alone. And I'm not called to live this life in the safety of these walls. But I am called to bring the truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus, the love of Christ to the world outside these doors. I know I belong to Jesus. Who do you belong to? Let's pray. God, we come before You this morning, and we come before You with gratitude. Gratitude that we don't belong to ourselves, that we don't belong to this world, but that we belong to the One who loved us and chose us, who is with us. And so, God, in the coming days ahead, God, I pray that You would make us aware of this spiritual battle that's going on. And God, I pray that You would protect each one of us from the evil one. God, I pray that we would see the world outside these doors and know that we have a mission in it. God, I pray that You would give us opportunity to share Your truth and Your love with those who need to know. And God, I pray that we would live knowing that we are chosen by You, that we are secure in You, that we have this mission, and that we don't do any of this alone because of who You are, what You've done, and who we belong to. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.